The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now joining us to discuss the week trending, some of the talking points of the week from our own evening programmes, producer Kate Brennan-Harding and Dion Fanning from Joe.ie. Now, Salesforce announces 1,500 new jobs today. Big news for Dublin. And yet, what is it that some people are focusing on? It's what happened when Taoiseach Leo Varadkar went there today to make the announcement.
I also know it's a special day of celebration for you. So I'm sure you won't mind me telling your 1,000 distinguished guests here that this is your 40th birthday.
Dion, I hope he had the good grace to cringe.
Well, when I heard about this story at first, I thought it was going to be one of those kind of dear leader moments where you would cut and see kind of, you know, 1,000 obedient people singing happy birthday on cue. But actually, it was kind of the opposite. It was deliberately seemed to be designed to embarrass him, which is, again, is healthy, I think. It's a healthy state of affairs when people see the Taoiseach show up and they think we can embarrass this man by singing happy birthday.
I think it's kind of lovely that they sang happy birthday to him.
It oh, you're soft.
I know I am, but sure, heck it, that's everybody, isn't it? I am soft.
Okay, of course, 40. He's so damn young to be Taoiseach, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he is. But it, like, I suppose it gives me hope. I'm 38, so 2 years. So maybe, you know, it shows what you can do by the time you're 40.
It's frighteningly young. It is a sense of, you know, that the world is passing some of us by as the Taoiseach is only turning 40.
Only turning, yes.
Of course, you can have a very active life when you're older. And I saw a story we mentioned late last night in the programme as news emerged was a car crash involving Britain's Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, 97 years of age. And the photographs showing him with the Range Rover turned over. Now, we will be talking about YouTube banning dangerous pranks after the Bird Box Challenge a little bit later. Mm-hmm. We can assume that he wasn't taking up the Bird Box Challenge, can we?
We can. There seems to have been some suggestion that this should lead to, you know, like some, should we be considering what at what age people can drive? But I would think that it would be, I'd be reluctant to introduce any regulation or law based on anything that Prince Philip does. Because I think that would be...
It's a law unto himself.
It would be setting a dangerous precedent if you were to introduce laws based on Prince Philip's behaviour.
But are we allowed to question whether it's right for a 97-year-old to be driving? Now, one listener texted in last night to say that a grandmother of a friend of his had driven herself to the emergency department at the age of 106. Now, there is apparently, when you pass the age of 70, you have to have eye tests every 3 years. Mm-hmm. But it isn't just a question of eyesight. Surely judgment, perception and stuff does start to ebb. Just like we don't allow people under the age of 17 to drive, should there not be a cut-off point when people get older?
Well, you know, as somebody who suffers from serious road rage, and, you know, I'll use any kind of ism to blame people, I can be ageist, I don't think that we should automatically stop people driving at a particular age. I think, obviously, we have every 3 years they can, they do the driving less test again, and they get their eyesight done. It's down to personal responsibility. On the website, on the Irish website, where it's to, you know, in advising people what to do, it's down to, it specifically says personal responsibility. So if you know yourself that you're not necessarily the fastest anymore, you know, you're not reacting well, then maybe you should take yourself off the road. But I don't think that we could say to people, no, you're too old.
Just leave it to personal responsibility, Dion.
Well, I do think older people are less likely maybe to be au fait with smartphones and other things that are going to distract people on the roads as well. So there is a trade-off. You know, for every young person on the road who is going to be... how many times you drive by people of a certain age who are texting or looking at their phone while they're driving, that's going to be less likely in the 75, 80-plus bracket. So we get an advantage there. And I think with Prince Philip, I saw somebody was telling a story today that 30 years ago, Prince Philip nearly ran them off the road. So again, like 30 years ago, Prince Philip was still driving
maybe
recklessly. So
just a terrible driver.
Yeah.
But of course, you also get the thing in relation to, you know, people say that older people drive more slowly, but sometimes slow driving can be a risk on the roads as well.
Mm-hmm. That's the bugbear for me. Slow driving in the overtaking lane on a motorway drives me absolutely nuts, because you could be going along doing the speed limit happily, like say driving to Cork, and the next thing you're coming up against somebody who's driving 60 kilometres an hour and you could nearly crash into the back of them. Obviously you can see them, but there's nowhere to go. There's people that don't know how to use the road properly, and that is slow driving.
Of all ages.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to stand up for the 90-year-olds.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Your defence is great, even though you're not even half the age of Prince Philip. You're planning ahead in relation. Of course, I did also rather facetiously say last night that nobody would have dared breathalyse him after a case of this, but apparently some brave policeman actually did do so.
Yeah, he was breathalyzed, but...
both drivers were breathalyzed as part...
A woman, two women who actually were hospitalized as a result of this.
Yeah.
But I think that's standard in a situation like that, that they will be breathalyzed. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you will be considering the consequences if you didn't breathalyze.
But can you imagine, even if they did find he was over the limit, could you imagine Prince Philip being actually prosecuted?
But what would it... I think the surprise that he's on the road, I don't think, what kind of a ban would, it's like when he retired from public life, when he announced he was retiring from public life a couple of years ago, he said he'd be retiring from public life in 6 months. And you were like, this guy has got incredible ambitions. He's 95 and he's planning to retire in 6 months' time.
Okay, moving on, driving issues as well. Netflix recently urged people not to try and replicate elements of the Bird Box movie, which so many people seem to have seen on that channel. And now YouTube has actually banned videos of people trying to perform the Bird Box challenge, as
it's known. Yeah, pretty much people, like, this is a dark day for people, literally, because they put a mask over their eyes and they get in a car and they drive it blindfolded, which is utterly ridiculous.
According to their sat-nav.
Yeah, according to their sat-nav, but obviously, you know, in Bird Box, the actual programme, there's nobody else driving around because everybody is dead. Or anybody that, you know, there's very few people driving around, so they're using their sat-nav, and it's quite ingenious. But obviously, in real life, you know, there are people doing this. There are people crashing their cars, and there are YouTube stars doing it, which is ridiculous as well.
What sort of idiots do we have, Dion, who actually would fail to realise that there are other cars on the road, so you can't replicate the Bird Box challenge?
Do the Darwin Awards still exist? You know, those awards, you know, for people who have kind of, you know, whose actions kind of help the evolution of the species. Like, they would seem almost to be out of date now, because daily you just see these actions that are so mindless, and, you know, these kind of trends that are only people who have kind of can see no consequences for any of their actions would take. And it's again one of those strange aspects of modern life.
It makes you wonder if people are completely, like, you are out of touch with reality if you're trying to copy something from a Netflix program. Yeah.
It's even a crap movie, to make things worse. Anyway.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, but, you know, it's the only scary thing I've ever watched. So, you know, maybe that's what it was.
Have you seen it, no, Dion? You must be one of the very few people that hasn't. Now, the marketing of this, it's not worth it. Don't bother. Anyway, of course, another thing which has really got people's goat this week has been the suggestion that you should eat 90% less meat. You should nearly cut it out of your diet. People ignoring the sugar element, a 50% reduction in sugar also been recommended for your diet. But meat, would you eat goat as a replacement, Dion, for your intake of red meat, if you are a red meat eater?
I have eaten goat. When I lived in London, the Notting Hill Carnival used to take place just down the road from me. So every year, one of the staples of the Notting Hill Carnival is curried goat.
What's it taste like?
It's lovely. Lovely. You know, curried goat and rice and peas.
It's kind of close to lamb.
A lamb kind of, you know, as you'd imagine.
And it gets tough, apparently, like lamb. When lamb gets too old, turns into mutton, which is a cheaper cut.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, this story about, which is broke over in the UK, was about how the goat farming industry is increasing because of dairy production, because goat's milk is kinder to the stomach and goat's cheese. And therefore, what they're deeming as ethical, which is not ethical, but what they're deeming as ethical meat eaters, a shout out to ethical meat eaters, is there's 100,000 roughly goats who go to slaughter because they are male and therefore they're not part of producing the dairy side of things. So they're trying
to... So they could be eaten?
They could be eaten. They're trying to encourage people to... And they could be eaten, and that's fair enough, but it's not necessarily ethical, because when you...
Well, it would be, surely it's not waste then, if they're going to be alive anyway, And if they're going to be slaughtered, you might as well eat them to get some practical benefit.
I suppose I'm being pedantic about it in terms of ethical eating in my world is making sure that animals, if you do choose to eat animals, that you are eating something that has had a good life or that is something that is not like a product of the mass farming and torturous conditions that our animals are put into. So it's more that this is, it makes sense.
Are you a vegan or a vegetarian?
No, I'm not. No. I eat meat and I would, but I eat meat that I know has come from a specific source that is local and I don't eat meat every day. So I tried being a vegetarian and I became very, very irate after 3 weeks. It didn't work. So, but I do think it's important.
It only took 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, it did only take 3 weeks. But I suppose down to your blood type and your personal choice. For me, I make sure that I'm eating something that I know where it's come from and I know that it has had a decent life. I don't eat anything like battery chickens. I don't eat battery eggs. I think that system is horrible. And I think that it's just down to personal choice.
Apparently goat meat is generally lean with less cholesterol than beef, lamb and pork, and less saturated fat and more iron and protein than chicken. But yet I'd imagine, Dean, a lot of people will sort of get uncomfortable with the idea of eating a meat from an animal that they're not sort of haven't grown up with or not familiar with eating.
Yeah, but that's, again, probably something that could do with changing or needs to change if you are going to be serious about various aspects of, you know, sustainability and stuff like that. But that, you know, people look, but there is no real, why would you... Why would you be have reservations about goat and not about lamb? Like,
A lamb is a little cuddlier looking animal.
Lamb is
than a
cuddlier.
Goat.
Like, if we're going to get down to it, lambs are cuddlier.
We've got so much more choice these days. I mean, if you look at my mum's generation, they were growing their own fruit, not so much fruit, but mainly veg. They were living a more vegetarian based diet. My mum only had meat twice a week, and they were, you know, as fit as fiddles, healthy. At this time, we have access to so much processed meat. I think goat. I think it's right. Like, I actually liked eating goat when I tried it, and I think obviously if the meat product's going to waste, then work away, okay. Eat it.
Kevin in Donegal is prejudging the investigation into the Prince Philip car crash even more than we're doing. So he's suggesting that he should be forced to do some community service, picking up rubbish with the commoners of the public at 97. He's hardly likely to be doing that, is he? Another big Netflix thing at the moment, Kate, is this programme, but this one, Marie Kondo. She's basically trying to get you declutter your house.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of controversy about the idea of throwing out books, which I would regard as sacrilege.
Well, I haven't seen the programme because I don't really care about watching the programme. I have a house full of books, but I see all on Instagram or on Twitter, everybody going, oh, I'm recondoing this, I am getting rid of that.
And that's what it's called, recondoing, is it?
No, Marie Kondoing. I don't know. I just know what I'm seeing. But like, I've also got other funny people saying, can't wait for all the books that are going to be in the charity shops after people Marie Kondo their house, you know? But it's sparked controversy in terms of, like, she's like, if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid of it. If you've had it for 2 or 3 years and it's you've not moved it, then get rid of it. And it's like, well,
my ambition is actually to read and be even half of all the unread books that I have in my house. But there is something I have to admit, and if any people, my friends are listening, I do tend to look at people's book collections when I walk into somebody's house. It tells you something about the people you're visiting to see what books they have on their shelves.
It does. And when you go to somebody's house where there aren't any books, it tells you something as well.
A lot more, absolutely.
Yeah, and you find it's a kind of disconcerting experience when you find yourself in a house without...
Did you find as well that rooms that have books in them, like, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a sitting room that has floor-to-ceiling a bookshelf, and it feels so nice. It's, you know, it's kind of inviting and welcoming.
It's
and,
homely.
Yeah.
Well, I had to ditch. When we moved back from London 2 or 3 years ago, a lot of the books I had in London I had acquired just went into storage, and they're still in storage. And I honestly feel that the loss of them, you know, all the time, because I know there's 80% of my books are in storage somewhere and I'm working off.
Would you ever have picked them up again, even if you
had? Yeah, well, I had to make a choice. It was like a brutal choice where I said, okay, these boxes are the ones that are coming to the house and the other ones are going to. But I'm kind of, you know, weekly, I think I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to the day when we can get into that storage centre.
It'll be like finding treasure again.
Yeah, well, And they mean something. I think it's very hard. Like, I've read these things before, and this idea, and you know, if you haven't read something in 2 years, throw it out. Or if you've read it, throw it out. And you try and do that with books. And you kind of go, I can't, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not capable.
I think it's fine
that.
To do that with clothes and clutter and cups and anything else that you kind of like. I'm so sentimental. I have my favourite cup. It's chipped and it's cracked, but I still keep it. And it's silly. I should get rid of it. Do you know what I mean? But like, but books are a different thing because you're creating a memory for yourself. Do you know
okay.
what I mean?
Let's go to a story from New Zealand where a family of visitors to the country are being blamed for causing all sorts of havoc, dumping rubbish on Takapuna Beach, allegedly threatening to run over a witness who'd seen them scamming restaurants and cafes by refusing to pay for their meals. This has become a big story in a normally placid country. This is what the mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, had to say about this family of tourists.
There is a roving bunch of what have been described as Irish tourists. Now, I don't mean to be prejudiced or racist.
What a bunch of assholes. So,
but sorry, what a bunch of assholes.
These guys are trash. I'm married to a Moriarty, so I've got a particular liking for the Irish. But I don't have a liking for these sort of people that come here. I just saw what they did on Takapuna Beach.
Gross,
so,
eh?
So they sat down there and they drank their beer, they threw their bottles on the ground, they ate their lunch, they threw their wrapping papers across the ground. The people are behaving worse than pigs, and actually I'd like to see them out of the country.
Okay, and just listen a little bit more. This is a video as well of one of the group, a boy thought to be about 7 years of age, confronting locals who asked this group to clean up after themselves.
You're a naughty little shit.
You smoked on my uncle. Fuck your friends then. Smoked on my uncle again.
Excuse
what?
Me?
Scared him. Smoked him. Smoked on my uncle again. Smoked him.
How old are you?
Okay. Bad enough that we beat them in the rugby last November. Now we have the Irish causing this trouble down in New Zealand.
Yeah, it's a strange story because, again, there is that sense of when people are talking about Irish tourists and assholes and stuff, you kind of feel you're on a kind of a line where it's getting into kind of, you know, how offensive is this? How much offence could we take when you're talking about a group of people and saying, oh, you know, I'm one of those guys saying I'm married to, you know, I love the Irish. Like, but it doesn't really, like, it's a group of people on a beach. It's not really kind of a jumping off point to say these are Irish, you know, Irish tourists, or should we send
where
them
where they're
home?
From is completely irrelevant. What background they are is completely irrelevant. I mean, having said that, reading up on this, the family themselves have spoken and said that they are from Liverpool and that they're over on a holiday, that they did leave the rubbish behind on the beach, because what they're saying is that the young fellow was getting verbal abuse hurled at him in the sea, and that there's two sides to every story. Now, I know
there's not always two sides for every
story.
No,
there's not
though.
Only but
sometimes there's the truth and sometimes there's lies.
I know, but listen, I watched the videos. I've seen, you know, obviously there's two young kids go in and they take a few bits, and I think the woman has been done for taking Red Bull from the shop. But like, I would put it back to, I mean, I feel like this story is aimed at being a bit prejudiced around travellers, and it's really kind of irritated me in that it's used to just, isn't this like, look at them, aren't they gassing, they're behaving badly. That little boy, she calls him a little shit, and you know, he was coming out of a courtroom and he was scared of all the people. There was these big people, adults, who were surrounding him, and he was scared. You only react in fight or flight. He's a small fella, he's just kind of looking after for his family. The other thing I would say, have you seen the canal in Dublin during the summer? When after a lot of people...
Oh, we covered that in detail.
I know,
on this
exactly.
Program a
so I'm just
times.
Saying, I think that looking over at something that's happening on the other side of the world.
There was a video recently as well of people dumping rubbish up in County Tyrone.
Yeah.
It was an extraordinary video of people literally at a crossroads.
And just dumping it.
Just
yeah.
taking the stuff out of the boot and just throwing it on the road. Didn't care who saw them or who was going to clean it up after them.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, this is my point, is that, you know, you've got like every walk of society is making mistakes. Everyone is kind of is leaving rubbish. And, you know, I think this reaction in Auckland, and certainly to call people names like that and to put in the word Irish, is just kind of ridiculous, really. It's prejudice.
OK, what you make though of this, Kate? Another a study from the National University of Singapore Business School investigated the link between joke appreciation, joke making and people's sense of their own morality.
Yes.
Get this. People who are morally virtuous are less likely to be funny. Dion.
Well, I think there's a huge flaw in this study, because I don't know how you can be morally virtuous without a sense of humour.
Yeah.
So I don't see, like, I think...
Explain that to me.
Well, I think it's having a sense of humour is one of the foundations of being a person of kind of great integrity. Like, some of the worst people in the world have no sense of humour. Donald Trump has no sense of humour. James Comey said this about Trump, that he never saw him laugh at anything. Charles J. Haughey was a man with no sense of humour. He was a man who so desperately needed a sense of irony and self-depreciation because... you know, the guy, he needed that pomposity.
You could say he played a massive joke on us, though, couldn't
but he,
you?
But practical jokes isn't a sense of humour. That's the key thing. Like, you always see that practical people say, oh, I have a great sense of humour. And what they're talking about is doing practical jokes, which is actually a joke on somebody else. Whereas a true sense of humour is an ability to laugh at yourself. Like, Charlie up on his doing all his horse riding and all that kind of stuff was a great example. His Napoleon complex. Like, he needed somebody to say, you know, you're an idiot, get off the horse.
Okay, we've upset quite a lot of people with our conversation about having books on display in your house. Everyone says this is quite a snobbish attitude if you visit a house with no books. I read quite a bit, but give books away when done so others can enjoy them. Another listener says, disconcerting that someone doesn't have a bookshelf. Get over yourself. So condescending. Sure, it would also be disconcerting if somebody didn't have a fridge. I mean, this is food for the brain we're talking about. Okay, thank you very much, Dion Fanning from Joe.ie, Kate Brennan-Harding from our Evening Time shows on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.